WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. United Airlines is giving its planes a new paint job. We want to talk a little bit about that and some other aviation airline business news this morning with Brian Summers from Skift.com. Brian is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift and joins us this morning via Skype from Los Angeles. Brian, let's begin with United. A little bit of a different paint job coming out of some of the hangars this week.
Steve, on Wednesday, United Airlines unveiled a new paint job, which is probably not something that excites that many travelers. Folks like me who follow it closely get pretty giddy about it. United is updating what is essentially a 27-year-old design. People may know that its current paint job started flying in 1991 on Continental Airlines. And then when the two airlines merged in 2010, instead of coming up with something new and fun, the airline just reverted to the old Continental paint. So now it's 2019. United wants to refreshen its brand image. There were a lot of folks that thought United maybe should start anew, completely fresh. United didn't do that. They're still using a lot of elements of the old design, but the airplane is going to be very, very blue. So people may know that the current paint job has a lot of gold in it. Gold is kind of like an early 1990s color. United's going big on blue. They have various shades of blue here. They have some corporate speak going. So they call it Rhapsody Blue, United Blue, and Sky Blue. Not really sure what that means, Steve, but it does mean that there's, again, a lot of blue. The word United is much larger than it used to be. The engines are going to go from gray to blue. But generally, United is calling this an evolution, not a revolution. Lots of people have opinions on this. Our listeners will probably have to see it for themselves before they can decide. But to me, it looks fine.
Yeah, Rhapsody thing, it might be a draw on the song Rhapsody in Blue that United made famous, right?
Absolutely, Steve. That's exactly what it is.
One of the interesting parts of this is they're at least keeping the globe on the tail. I've seen this picture that's been out there circulating on social media, and it seems like that's one of the design features that they are keeping.
They are keeping the globe, Steve, and it's sort of interesting. Again, this is inside baseball. Continental used a globe as its logo since 1991. United, people may know, since the 1970s, used basically a stylized U that looked a little bit like a tulip. People called it the tulip. There are lots of folks in Chicago, especially because that's United's hometown, that were hoping that United would bring back the stylized U, the tulip, leave these Continental Airlines days in the past. United chose not to do that. It looks like the tulip, sadly, is dead, and the globe lives on. But I guess time marches on.
Yeah, and I know this is inside baseball, but it's interesting because one has to wonder, since Oscar Munoz, the CEO, talks about this being an evolution, if more things might be coming at United, either in decoration or things, you know, behind the scenes or in front of the scenes that people might see.
Yeah, I mean, in truth, Steve, a lot of the changes have already happened. Frequent flyers probably won't be all that surprised by United's new paint job. And that's because the paint job looks a lot like what we've seen going on at airports for the last 3 or 4 years. So airport by airport, as United has renovated, they've gotten rid of a lot of the gold. They've brought out a lot more blues. And so if you go to O'Hare and you look at the gates and the boarding areas, you'll see branding that looks a lot like what is on this airplane. Same thing goes for, say, the new Boeing 777-300, an airplane United started taking delivery of about 2 years ago. Doesn't have a lot of gold on the inside. It looks like the new livery on the inside, and pretty soon it'll look the new way on the outside. So, you know, United is saying out with the gold, in with the blue.
There you go. Brian, there's another story today about Allegiant Airlines seeking permission to fly to Mexico. Why should we be interested in this?
Well, Steve, if you live in downtown Chicago, maybe you should not be interested. But Allegiant is an ultra low cost carrier. They're very cheap and they take people from smaller U.S. cities into popular vacation destinations. So they'll fly to Las Vegas, they'll fly to Phoenix, they'll fly to the Orlando area. Allegiant has been growing pretty quickly in recent years, and they've decided, hey, you know what? If it works in Florida, maybe it'll work in Cancun. Maybe it will work in Puerto Vallarta. Again, as we say, they're not going to go to Midway. They're not going to go to O'Hare. But they do look at some interesting airports maybe outside of major cities. So one of the airports that I think they could be interested in, believe it or not, is Chicago-Rockford. We would probably just call it Rockford Airport, but the official name is Chicago-Rockford. That would be a kind of a good market for them, right? It's a small airport in a relatively small place, but it's an international airport, and people might get very excited if they could, you know, stay in Rockford and fly from Rockford nonstop to Cancun and then back rather than driving all the way to O'Hare. And guess what? The fares would probably be cheaper than on, say, United or American. So, you know, it's not going to help a lot of people in the Chicago area, but on the margins, it's going to be an interesting move to see them going down to Mexico.
Yeah, and here's a question about perhaps other airlines that fly to Mexico will lower their fares to compete. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I doubt it, Steve. You know, Allegiant is such a niche airline that it's not a major threat, say, to United, American, Delta. The big airlines will usually let Allegiant just go in, lower fares, take people from Rockford to Orlando and not bother matching. So I don't think that this is going to spur a giant fare war and traveling, say, from O'Hare to Cancun or, you know, Los Cabos in Mexico is going to be cheaper than ever. I think you're probably going to have to fly Allegiant if you're going to get a deal. I don't think that there's going to be a spillover effect.
Another really cool story that I like this week, Brian, you were reporting on autonomous vehicles at airports. And I know it's been, you know, a half a century since we saw the People Mover come into existence. Are we going to see more things moving around autonomously at airports?
Yeah, Steve, I think we probably will. It might take 5 or 10 years. I mean, the first thing to understand is that there's basically two parts of the airport, what we call the land side and the air side. The land side is where you drive up to O'Hare, you let people off, that sort of thing. The air side is everything that happens on the airfield. My story focused on the airfield. So I think within a decade or so, we might see things like driverless baggage tractors, maybe shuttles to remote gates, or even snow plows for runways. I think the idea here is that the airport is a pretty controlled environment. So if you take something like an autonomous snow plow, when airports plow the runway is usually closed, and then the plows go in a straight line, right? And so, you know, you don't have to worry about other cars on the road, things like that. Even baggage tractors will probably work, right? Because they have a pretty defined path. They go from the airplane to the terminal and back. I think airports and airlines would like to see this happen because, as people know, labor is very expensive. So you could probably save money on that sort of thing. Now, let me give you the obvious counter argument, Steve. Autonomous vehicles could be dangerous, right? What if a driverless vehicle, say, hits an airplane? It could cause a catastrophe, or it could cause just some damage. You know, these things are possible. There's things that people are looking at. But I have to remind you and the listeners, this comes up all the time, right? No matter where it is, humans aren't the best drivers either. And I think more often than people think, human drivers on the airfield do hit airplanes. It's usually at very slow speed. It's not that big of a deal, but it does happen, right? A catering truck will ram an airplane by mistake. The airplane will have to go out of service. So the question is, you know, is it really that much worse to have driverless cars? I think probably not. It's not imminent. But I think someday we may see it.
Yeah, and some of the early use cases, I mean, there's one that you write about this in your story at Heathrow Airport in London. British Airways was testing some driverless tugs. The significant pushback-related delays are worth taking note of.
Yeah, British Airways is testing these things called Molotox. They're those pushback tugs that push the airplane backward. They're actually remote controlled by a human, but obviously a human can work on multiple gates at once. British Airways says that they're really efficient, and they're also much more precise drivers than humans. And they say that pushback delays have fallen by 53%, which frankly seems a lot to me. But next week, I'm interviewing British Airways CEO in London, so maybe I'll ask him about it and find out how it could possibly be 53%.
All right, Brian, great conversation. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Brian Summers is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift at Skift on Twitter and skift.com. And follow Brian, too, at Brian Summers on Twitter. And sign up for the weekly airline innovation report from Skift delivered to your inbox at skift.com/airline.